Hello, welcome to the Oblivious Maximus podcast for another episode. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
That's Alan. Welcome to the podcast.
So good to be here.
Alan Stacey.
Oh, yeah.
That is my name.
Alan Stacey.
Alan James Stacey. Alan James.
AJS.
That's it.
Alan James, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. It's good to be here.
So I guess I thought I could start it off by saying when I first met you, I was so excited because I don't know if I met you before you were an Outright, but maybe, I don't know, again, now I'm getting my timelines wrong, but I feel like famously you replaced me in Outright, or is that incorrect?
I don't know.
Either way, I was so stoked when I think I met you at that point and it was like, oh, hey, this is Alan. He's going to be playing guitar now. And I went to the band practice to like show you the riffs or something. And you were wearing a Death shirt, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude.
And I was like, this guy fucking rocks.
Yeah, man.
This band's going to be sick.
Been friends ever since.
That's it.
We have.
Truly.
I think I met you through Smithy, our mutual friend Luke Smith. I don't know how. Maybe he was playing a marathon and you were in Stockades at the time.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I distinctly remember you coming up to me in the beer garden at the old bar and going, Serlo. And that's it.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of interactions.
Very excited to meet you. Still am every time I see you.
It's a beautiful thing, you know.
Totally.
So despite those two bands we have mentioned, you are currently playing in Gutless.
Correct.
Brutal As.
Hell yeah.
And Street Sweeper.
Not so brutal.
Slightly less brutal. Really rocking though.
Yeah.
Is it just those two at the moment?
Just those two at the moment. I think I'm stretched pretty thin as it is. And it's nice to have two different bands on either end of the spectrum kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But
And if people were to wander into Rowdy's Records, they might see you there as well.
Here we are, plugging.
You will.
If you listen to the audio version, Alan did doff his cap.
I did.
It says Rowdy's Records.
I got a rep.
So my first like big question right now, playing in Gutless, playing in Street Sweeper, how does the riff mind go changing between two things that are quite disparate, I would say?
Yeah. No, it's a thing for sure.
Yeah.
But I think Gutless is not really my baby, if you know what I mean. I just kind of do what I'm told.
Yeah.
When I first joined, like I hadn't really played death metal or like that style of guitar in such a long time. So it did take me a little while to just kind of build up that stamina for that kind of stuff. And I'm still working on that. But
well, you don't show it.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Haven't seen you guys a lot recently. Like you guys are ripping up there.
I appreciate it, man. Thank
you.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to, you know, put in the work to, you know, be good at that for the band, you know, because I always liked the band. And it's kind of when you're the new guy and something like that, you don't want to let anyone down. But
some people like probably might not have known you as ever playing that type of music either.
Probably not. That was Bedroom Alan. That was like 13-year-old.
That's Alan. The Alan I know and love.
Yeah, Bedroom Alan.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think one of the
many times.
I think one of the other like first times. Maybe it wasn't an hour. I think maybe it was just talking to you about it. But I think you were playing the guitar that doesn't have a headstock.
Oh, hell yeah. The Steinberger. Steinberger. I missed that thing. I sold that thing for like $1,500 and I looked on reverb.com the other day and it's like $8,000.
Oh, it sucks, you know? When that happens. But I think you were playing like, I want to say like that Necrophagist song. What's the big song off that record?
Stab Wound.
Yeah. I think you were playing that and I was like, this guy rocks a guitar.
Yeah. Necrophagists are a big one. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think when I was younger, like technicality was always big for me.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, like look at these people pushing the boundaries of like what can be done. I don't think I've never been able to get there.
Yeah.
I don't think, but like I have mad respect for people that play that kind of music.
Yeah. Well, I was obsessed with that stuff when I was in school.
Mm.
Like, and I think my realization came like just so hard and fast that like I cannot write music like that at all. I don't have enough musical brain power to do it. But also I simply cannot play it. Like
hard.
As much as I would like to.
But I also feel like as you get older you learn that there's some Pro Tools involved and
yes.
But you try not to think about that.
Yeah.
And the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I think the other thing too of Gutless of late, post Europe tour, I think you just in that full like post, you know, big show lock in. Like tight.
Yeah, that like even leading up, we were practicing so hard.
Yeah.
And, like over that tour, just playing every night, like 14 shows straight.
Yeah.
It's like it's pretty hard not to be locked in after.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because what show was it? The Bendigo with Elgar Mortis and
It
was kind of a weird lineup, but worked quite well.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the thing that I love about Gutless. So I think it's like, you know, it can work on a death metal lineup, can work on a hardcore lineup, and people seem to
be into it,
which is cool.
Yeah. I think it's truly like the first, I mean, I would say obviously Faceless Burial kind of had that as well. But I think for Melbourne, at least in the time that I've lived here, certainly I've never known a time where like death metal bands were readily accepted to play any shows other than like, you're opening for Psycroptic. Like, that's gig you get. Totally. Or when Deicide come here, that's who you're playing.
But I feel like it might be even a bit more of a conscious thing for the band to not go down that route. But you didn't speak to them about that. Like I said, I do what I'm told.
Well, you're doing it well, mate.
Thank you.
No, but I think it's a good decision, though, regardless.
For sure.
Like, it's, I mean, and I suppose it's a little bit different for, you know, when people have played in hardcore bands and like have been in that world too. But I think the other thing too is like, or at least what I feel lately in playing music here is that like people are getting far more like chill with just like playing whatever show and doing mixed bill stuff, which which is bonkers to think of, because like I'm sure that was the way it was here pre me living here at some stage. But growing up in Canberra, like every show was a mixed bill show. There wasn't enough death metal bands to have a death metal show. Yeah. Like it was.
Nah, for sure.
Well, sort of like early tens, it sort of, there were a lot of mixed bills. It sort of split off into where you even had like multiple hardcore scenes and multiple of like the same genre scenes. And then I think it just imploded and then COVID hit and then it's all mixed again now.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel like.
But it's taken a long time to get back there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, like, the whole, like, we've already talked about it a couple of times on this, but, like, the post-COVID, like, boom has been, like, crazy, though.
For sure.
I mean, like.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mind is still stuck in the fact that we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, something comes along, I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, even, like, international tours still, I'm like, my ears just knot to the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like. Oh, the Damned are playing next week. I should be, pre-COVID, I would have been all on that, but now I'm like,
oh well.
Yeah, yes, I'll miss it.
Things are too split.
Yeah.
Well, and even was the Gutless tour the first international trip you'd taken since COVID, or had you done some stuff in between then?
Yeah, I did a tour on guitar with a band called Romero.
Oh, true.
The year before. Just filling in for them and did a kind of UK Europe run with them, which was kind of my first experience doing that. Which is good, challenging, but challenging, you know, from a personal side of things, but it was still some good memories made. But that was kind of the first experience with it. But it's completely different animal to the European death metal circuit, that's for sure.
what was the biggest show that you guys did when you were there? You played a big fest, right?
Yeah, I think we did, when we first got in there, we did Killtown Death Fest.
Yeah.
Love that name.
Yeah.
that's in Copenhagen in Denmark, which was great. And it's kind of like Killtown Bookings who do it all. It's kind of like the meeting place for a bunch of different tours they have going on at one time. So yeah, it was great. Saw a lot of great bands and met some cool people. And I'd probably say the second or the biggest one we did was probably Tones of Decay.
Yeah.
In the Czech Republic, which was pretty wild.
I've played in both of those places. Kevin Hagen was absolute dog shit for I Exist. The two big takeaways for it were, because we were on like a hardcore tour essentially, there would be like, it'd be a real dice roll as to whether like the show would be a hardcore crowd or it would just be like music fans.
Yeah.
And so when it was like half the time when it was just like a hardcore crowd, we wouldn't go over that well. And that show in particular was, I distinctly remember being one of those shows. And when we got there, the sound guy, don't know who he was, so sorry, man, I'm about to give you some grief, but he was wearing D's Nuts hat, shirt, and shorts. And I was like, his brother loves D's Nuts. And then he came straight up to us and he's like, Australia.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, yep. These nuts are from Australia. And then he was like, cool, goes back over, starts like getting ready to do sound for us. And then like we sound check, everything's all good, great, whatever. Then before we play, he's kind of like, you guys, you got to go in a couple minutes. Like, yep, cool, all good. Lights come down, AC/DC up. And he like, he like introed us and was just at the back of the room like,
like, that's how it's done. And, that's how it should be done.
But like, yeah, we're loving this, obviously. This is like the funniest thing that's ever happened. But like the hardcore crowd at this show were like, what is this fucking Australian bit? Like, because we thought like, oh, right, now we're going to make fun of this. We can like have a real laugh with it. Mm. Not the case for that Copenhagen crowd.
I appreciate this guy, whoever he is. Kind of want to bring him on the whole tour. Yeah.
But I had that, and then I played a fest in the Czech Republic as well, which is called Fluff Fest, and it's like a still going, I think, but it's like massive. And it was a kind of one of like the culminations of the tour. It was like the second last show, and it was an all day like wild outdoor one, all vegan food. Jake from I Exist, famous quote was, "I can't even eat anything here." And everyone was like, well, that's the point of it, is that everyone can eat everything.
Yeah.
I think he walked like 4 kilometers to buy Pringles from a servo instead of eating the food at the vegan festival.
Also famously mostly vegan.
Yeah. It was like just a crazy, crazy show. We played, I think the entire set, Sam had a full legalize it weed leaf banner like draped around his front.
Mm-hmm.
Czech Republic, down for a laugh.
They're down.
They were ready for it.
There was one guy, I remember selling some merch after the show in the Czech Republic. After I said he came up and just in that classic European, like, you know.
Real blunt.
Real blunt. Looked at us, goes, I liked your set, but your merch is nothing to write home about.
Thanks, dude.
Like, cheers. And he still bought some. So
we
just had a bit of feedback.
Yeah.
But your merch famously does pretty well, I reckon.
Well, shout out to Jesse. He does all the merch, all the designs.
Well, I got to catch you on that tour very briefly.
Oh, yeah.
In Paris, which was a sick show, like a little dungeon kind of venue, which was
good.
I got a bit of a kick out of seeing you overseas and seeing the band kind of rip it to an international audience.
Totally. What was that? That was like, it was called Le Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I played that.
Yeah.
I think when I saw the post of the photo on the internet, I think that's where our show in Paris was.
That's like, what, 2 stories underground in some old wine
cellar?
In a
bunker thing.
Yeah.
I remember having to get a plastic cup to go with my beer and you just brung it back to keep getting it refilled. They do stuff wild over there. Yeah.
That's mental.
Was it hot as hell in there?
It was brutal, yeah. It was just like underground and it was summer.
Yeah.
You know,
we
summer's pretty hot.
my memories of playing there were the, like, no joke, the rider was a bunch of baguettes and we were like, this is fucking hilarious. Like,
you can't
be more Paris. And I think it was like a basket, like a wicker basket full of baguettes.
I feel like we always just had like bread and like some kind of stew.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's just a stew. Yeah. That's like, I don't want to be eating that before I play. Yeah.
When
stew.
And in summer as well.
In summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a cold stew. Maybe yeah, that'll get like you a going.
Out.
I think it was like, because those Twitching Tongues guys and Hamza had been there like a few times prior. And I think one of the Isis guys after like the third soup was like, what's up with all the like soup we're getting? And then they were like, it's the European goulash. That's yeah, just what goulash, you get at every right, show. Yeah. It's just.
That's it.
Bucket of vegan goulash.
Hey, but it's pretty nice to get though. We don't get that here.
Well, no. this is the thing. Like, I've heard a lot of people, you know, abroad talk shit on it, but like, brother, come to Australia and get given 6 drink tickets, and
yeah.
then
oh yeah,
and
that'll be it.
And directions to 7-Eleven.
Yeah, the hospitality in Australia is not on par, I would say.
Subpar.
Yeah. That Paris venue, one of the other things there was all those American guys were using that like power, that step down or step up power thing to power their pedals.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because the power in the US is different. And God knows why that is the case, but anyway. And they were all plugged into like, you know, power boards that were piggybacking off another power board off another thing. And we all went up and we played fine. Everything was all good for us. And they went up and like all of them just started getting like shocked by the mics. And like, I think one of them like moved a drum mic and got like electrocuted by it. And I was like, there is so much like power danger up yeah. here. And Jake from Axis, who's an electrician, was like, we got to unplug everything. Like we have to start from scratch, go back to like the wall and do it. And then it was so hot in there. The walls were like sweating and it was just like, you're just getting electrocuted, guys. Like you just got to put up with it for your sets. And I think there's definitely maybe like a little video of Harmsway or something playing and one of them gets like real like zapped on the face by
scary,
one.
Man.
Well, as I always say, you got to risk it for the rock.
Yeah.
it's like there was a venue we played in Switzerland. I think it was in Zurich and we get there and like we had our gear with us in the car. We loaded it all in. And there's like no fallbacks. There's a mic stand with no mic. And we're going, but there was a sound person. Like, so what's your job exactly? Like, just turn it on. But I kind of felt like we were kind of like after a drive, we were kind of like super frustrated with it. But I felt kind of sorry for the person doing sound because like obviously that's just how it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But luckily the opening band brought a mic, which I find, you know, they've obviously played there before.
It's a DIY mic kind of venue.
Yeah.
So Gutless are in, you're in the middle of recording a bit at the moment how's it going so far?
I think it's going well. We've done the drums. We're doing it with Jason, Goat Sound.
Sick.
Ollie smashed it. Absolute king.
Mm.
Just gearing up to do the guitars and everything at the moment. The shreddy bits. Yeah. So it'll be fun. I'm really excited for it.
And Street Sweeper music, famously used in a ad for Catfish Comedy, was
yes.
it?
Yeah.
I reached out to Alan. I'm big into promo marketing sort of stuff. Yeah. Making dreams come true.
You should have seen the Spotify list and I was like, can't wait for my 0.00001 cent to hit that bank account.
Hey, you still got to redeem your free cheese steak down at Catfish Comedy as well,
that's
mate.
True. That's probably more than I've ever made from streaming. So where's
Street Sweeper at the moment? You've recorded?
We just finished recording a full-length LP, 10 tracks.
And that is more your baby, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
yeah,
I kind of started Street Sweeper in lockdown, just kind of writing tunes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think over everything I've ever done, I've never like, I'm like, how do you write a song?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a song.
Yeah.
Verse, chorus, verses, bridges. You know what I mean?
When you really break it down,
but
that's what it is.
That's the thing. Like I feel like, I'd never tried to do what Paul McCartney did, you know? I'm like, how do you write such just a great song? So I just started doing it in lockdown, like on GarageBand or whatever.
Yeah.
I just tried to, you know, put some together that sounded like a bit more of a pop sensible song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then out of lockdown, I kind of called on some people to help me out with it.
Yeah.
And there's been various lineup changes, but we're still here.
Yeah, good.
Did you like
1 year on? We're still here.
How did you like focus trying to write those songs? Did you like teach yourself anything, or what did you look to kind of do that?
I don't know. Like, I think kind of it was something I wanted to do in Grim Rhythm, which is what I was doing before that.
Mm.
But that kind of fell apart.
Mm.
But the kind of music I was really getting into was that kind of more pop, you know, structured rock and roll, or, you know, and like punk, whatever. Coloured Balls, like Lobby Lloyd and all that stuff. Even though he is and he isn't, like, he's got some psychedelic stuff going on. But I just wanted to try and write a good song, and I just practiced. I just had GarageBand, I like, delete it. Do it again, delete it. You know? Trial and error.
Carving back.
Trial and error, mate.
Mm.
I think a lot of that too is just like, I guess, kind of teaching yourself how to find like hooks too.
Totally.
Because that's the biggest thing for me, at least with those songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like, they're nothing without a hook.
Mm,
and
for sure.
Like, I don't think I write it in the context of like metal or hardcore stuff really, but like, I've always been like very conscious of like, you got to have choruses. Mm. Like, you have to have something that people are going to remember in a song. Because while I might remember like the noodling, the everyman won't.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that was like, I think that was hard for me to kind of separate myself from the noodling.
Yeah.
And be like, right, you don't have to play technical stuff here. Like, nothing wrong with the power chord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This kind of thing. So I was kind of really trying to downplay a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And try and just like, what chords work, changes, all of that. Focus more on those little things.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously, you know, messing around with singing a different style, you know, and trying to find good melodies and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other, I mean, pre-pressing record, big focal point is you're a big Danzig fan.
Oh, hell yeah.
One of the biggest.
Probably the biggest, I'd say. I'll fight anyone.
I would agree. Also, you're like the only person I've ever known that can basically do a spot on Danzig impression.
Try my best. It hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah. So much to the point that you played in a Danzig cover band. That's is true. What I'm trying to get to. briefly, you and I were playing in a band that was going to be just that. With members of Mindsnare, which is funny just to talk about
for
now.
For sure. Yeah, that was fun.
And none of that saw the light of day, right?
I think Beltsy.
I've got the tracks. I've got them.
Yeah, I do too.
I've got them.
I think Beltsy.
There's a secret there at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a link.
Yeah. Scan the barcode.
If you rewind at the start of this podcast,
it flashes real quick.
I think if you scroll back through Beltsy's like Instagram, he posted some of it.
There's a teaser.
Yeah.
Snippet. Sure. Yeah.
And I definitely have a lot of videos of us recording the guitars, because he was like just ripping, shredding solos, and I was just like I just wanted them for posterity.
Yeah.
But so in terms of the Danzig singing, did you find it when you started singing in other bands? Were you like having to remove yourself from the Danzig voice?
I feel like there's some little bits that still creep in.
Yeah.
You know, like little tails and stuff where it's like, it's just kind of coded.
Yeah.
It's in your DNA.
Because I feel like as far as singers go, he was kind of the first singer I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's wild. Like,
he's punk Elvis.
I first heard Danzig in 2004.
Yeah. Mm.
Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas. Radio X.
Yeah.
And when it first came on, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is like, you know, the raw guitar track's got like a AC/DC-ness to it.
Mm.
But this like crooner guy over the top. And I was done with the missions and I was just like driving around Radio X. I was like waiting for that song to come back on.
What was the song?
Mother.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And around the same time, a friend of mine in high school burnt me a CD full of Misfits songs.
Mm.
Great.
Like, I'm talking within a month of each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a minute. That voice sounds familiar. And then, you know, jumped on the World Wide Web and put it all together. And from that moment, it just became my favorite. I was like, I feel like it was like Fate or something.
Yeah.
You owe it all to GTA.
I do. Yeah. Thanks, Rockstar Games. Appreciate it.
I reckon one of the... I reckon you guys played... what fucking bar was it? Somewhere the Danzig band played. And it was like, you'd done other shows. I hadn't gotten the opportunity to see you guys play. Callum, previous guest of the podcast, also famously a member of...
I think he's had a mention on every podcast we've done so far.
Rightfully so.
Thanks, Callum.
Rightfully so.
He was in the band, but I'm racking my brain of where this was. I can't remember for the life of me. But I just remember being like, I knew you guys were doing it, and then I finally got to see you in like all your glory doing it, and I was like, this is what this man needed. He needed to be up there pretending to be Danzig.
Peaked in the Danzig cover band. Cheers, man.
Well, some people would think that was always in you, but there was a pre-Danzig time for you.
There was, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was a real watershed moment, I feel.
It so into what the point of my question was is with Street Sweeper then moving on from having done that vocally, like, you know, creating pop music, essentially singing in the hooks are in a lot of that too. Yeah. So was that a lot of like the demoing? Was it just...
I think so, but like I feel like, you know, if I have like a riff or an idea or whatever, I can catch a melody pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in no way like a trained singer or like, you know.
You can hit a note though.
I think so. But I think there's a lot of, you kind of find, you can kind of hear it as you play it or whatever, and then just go for it. But yeah, I definitely didn't want to sound like Danzig for Street Sweeper. what I mean is there's like, I think there's little things in there because maybe. I don't know. You tell me.
I think I would agree. I think it's like, you know, obviously when you're in a Danzig cover band, you're doing an impression.
But
you can hear the influence. Like you can hear it. Like, but not, it's not like, fuck, he's doing Danzig. It's like, you know, it's the sort of essence of it.
I think that's one thing I wrestled with when we did that band with Belts here. I was like, this feels too much of like a parody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to be like disgrace and the great man.
I mean, and the songs are great. I wrote one song and I felt like the song I wrote was like the least like it because I was using the reference points of like typo. Like I was like, oh, maybe we could bring like that stuff in.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. So it's not just ripping Danzig the whole time.
For sure.
But I mean, I will say as well, I think it was like, I mean, certainly when I like years later, then after you were no longer in Outright, or maybe when you couldn't play the show, I filled in and had to play some of the Outright songs that you wrote.
Right.
And the difference in the Outright songs that I wrote to the ones that you wrote, I was like, I'm fucking learning guitar here. But that was kind of the same thing playing with Beltsy. He was like showing me riffs and he's playing like proper chords. And I'm a fucking drummer who started playing guitar. Yeah.
So I think in like anything that I've done in terms of playing guitar, filling in, or my own stuff, but more so filling in. You really need want to emulate how that other person who wrote it plays.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, especially even with Tom in Gutless and Death Metal stuff, there's so much like nuance in like the right hand.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like you really try and need a match. You really want to try and match that.
Yeah.
And
big time.
Yeah. I think that if you do that, it actually makes it easier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to learn playing for Dan Benici, who is my housemate. I'm playing bass for his band Play Drive, first show on Saturday. And it took me, I've had months to learn this. but it took me till this week to realize it's the strumming that's like throwing me out.
Right.
Like all the... I guess, you know, I've played like slow kind of emo-y type music and it was always like, it was never like just down picking. And he does a mix of both and that's what threw me out. And it took this week for me to go, oh, I got to do both like, in the dumbest possible way. But that's Dan's style. Like I'm trying to play like him
because
he's just singing in this.
And he's a great bass player too.
Yeah, way better than I ever was. I'm really learning fast.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, I think like you know, I think another thing that I always liked about, like, you know, getting to know you was you have very similar sensibilities, I think, to me in terms of, like, music stuff.
Right.
We definitely like a lot of the same shit. But I think, like, when I, you know, was no longer in that band and then you were in that band and then I heard the songs, I was like, this is so sick. Like, I love every idea. And then learning how to play it, I was like, fuck, this is annoying. Like, it's way harder than what I played. But yeah. I think, like, bringing a lot of, like, the I guess, like, sort of those cross-sectional sensibilities is what I really like about, you know, the bands that you've been also, like, I think has always been the thing that interests me is, like, not being the most, like, straight-up band. So having, like, you know, having a, you know, being in a death metal band and then also in, like, a, you know, poppy rock band, like, they do lend some level of sensibilities to one another.
Totally.
Consciously or not.
I don't think I've reached the point where I'm like, I like what I like. I like an array of different music.
Yeah.
And like, I love playing it. So why wouldn't I just do that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, restrict myself from an experience just because it doesn't fit the mold of something else. You know, I feel like that happens a lot in music, because you want to kind of, you know,
be locked into a scene or something.
Totally, yeah.
And I think people also just get really in their own head with it too. Mm. Like, people, you know, nothing against it, but, like, people I've been in bands with and know that get very fixated on, like, oh, that's not what our band sounds like when you, like, write something. And my argument to that always is, like, well, I'm writing it, so yes, it is what my band sounds like.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I am this band, so.
But that's the thing. I think in any band, you're dealing with other individuals.
Yeah.
Also have their kind of idea of what the thing they're doing is,
how
they want to represent themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could, you know, they want to be, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why, like, I certainly have, like, got to this point of, like, doing this band that is essentially is me by myself, but then other people are helping me play it.
Yeah.
Like, that came about as a result of, like, I mean, half of the riffs on the first thing are, like, definitely riffs that I wrote for I Exist that people in I Exist, like, I don't like that. And I was like, all right, then tried it in Mental Cavity with the same people.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it in that either. I was like, all right, fuck it. Like,
yeah.
I got to find a new one for it.
That's trusting the process right there. I like it.
You know, and the riffs work.
It felt like there was a period there where you were doing a lot of filling in for bands and stuff like that. Does it feel good to kind of have Street Sweeper as, like, this is me, this fits with me, I can that control? Has that felt like a little bit of long time coming? Or
I think so, but I think it was also just kind of, I don't know, like, letting go of, like, that kind of thing, like, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? How do you want to be? How do you want to look? And just kind of, I don't know. Street Sweeper has been just like an experiment for me from day dot, trying to write a good song.
Yeah.
You know, do it, put it out, let it be judged, keep going and keep, you know, trying to write a cool song that I think is cool or that the band is stoked on. And yeah, I don't like this. It's a very low pressure band. It's done it at our own pace. You know, it's not like there's no goals for world domination. It's just fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you have any shows coming up with Street Sherpa?
We got a few, actually. We're playing March 29th at the Gem.
Nice.
And then April 13th with Aardvark, the best heavy metal band in Australia.
Yeah, they're rocking, huh?
They're the best.
Mm.
They just put an album out. It's incredible.
I haven't listened to it, but I saw.
Do it immediately.
I got to listen to it.
And then we got Legless, who put out the Street Sweeper 7-inch and are doing the album as well. Them and Rakoff Records are doing like a little tote takeover.
Cool.
So a bunch of bands there, like Drunk Moms and Split System and stuff like that.
I played with all those bands like a week ago.
Really?
At that Flip in the Bird thing.
True. Yeah.
And
I'm a fan of that. I really want to go. I've kind of been like, I'm not going unless we get asked to play. And I'm like, so I might never go. I might never make it.
I did kind of have a similar, I think I spoke about it, but I did have a similar thing where I was like, I need to go down there. I'll play at some point. And they just never got asked. And then finally, Extortion got asked. And I was like, now I can go.
I'm going. Everyone says it's a great day, though. Maybe I should.
It was sick.
Maybe I should head down.
I was very stoked that it created an opportunity for Extortion to play like a very mixed bill in that.
I thought you were about to say Frankston.
Oh,
well,
hey,
that too.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, it was a real scene down there, I have to say. No, but it was really cool to play like a bill that had a lot of those kind of bands on it.
Sure.
Because I was like, to be honest, we kind of would fit in with it. Like, Extortion is just really fast punk, yeah, totally. Basically. Mm. Like,
yeah.
It's just punk with blast beats, essentially.
Mm.
And so Gutless, I mean, you got a bunch of fucking shows, right? Still while recording?
Well, we're playing, we've got, when's that? Gate Creeper. Is that
April 11th?
Yeah. At the Prince.
Brutal.
In St Kilda.
Mm.
Yeah.
South of the border.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I don't like, not that keen because parking around there is an absolute nightmare.
But, FYI promoters, stop booking shows down there.
But no, that'll be really fun. And then, yeah, just trying to get the record done. And there's a few more later in the year. But again, I just do what I'm told. Oh, yeah, gotcha. I'll be there.
What, you want to give us a bit of a rundown of what you've played in, like from, because I guess, yeah, I remember you from Stockades, but there's been a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Was there much before that? Or no,
that was the first band I ever did.
And that was like a while, right? You were doing that? Or seemed like a while?
That was kind of, yeah, the first band I ever played in. Like, I always wanted to play in a band and just maybe wasn't confident enough or didn't know the right people.
Mm.
And then, yeah, my friend Ned, who plays in Tumor now, great mm-hmm. band, he kind of wanted to put this thing together. And when I first heard it, I was like, What is that? Because it is weird. But at the same time, that band, like Stockades, was kind of just a, like I was talking about before, I love technical music.
Mm.
And that was a way to really like play some different stuff.
Yeah, noodle out. Yeah.
No distortion, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like try cool stuff. And like I'm pretty proud of like, you know, some of the parts. Now, I couldn't remember how to do that now.
Mm. Yeah.
No way. But yeah, that was the first band I did. And then I think in like moving to Melbourne and like playing around town, you meet new people.
Mm.
And then I was kind of just like, you know, that opportunity. I loved watching Outright. I've always thought it was never my, again, never my, hardcore was never my thing.
Yeah.
But
same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that band looked super high energy, looked super fun. So I jumped at the opportunity to do that. Yeah, Stockades, I think, ended in like 2015 or something.
Mm.
I just kind of, everyone kind of got over it, I guess. But
yeah
then I did Grim Rhythm for a bit. I joined that band. They were an instrumental three-piece. Yeah. I joined, did a few songs with me singing for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Which is, again, cool experience.
They rip too, the song.
Yeah, I liked what we did. It's a shame kind of how the band went back. They're coming back though.
Yeah.
They're back.
I saw.
Yeah.
Original lineup.
But yeah. I think, and then out of that, who else have I done it for? I did a tour with High Tension on bass.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. I'd never played bass in a band before, so there you go. You know, I just feel like every time I'm just chasing something different, a new experience.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day it all kind of comes together and, you know.
And playing in front of like kind of different audiences, like.
Totally.
And yeah, I felt like when you were doing Stockades or like there was a bit of a moment for that type of music, there was kind of a bit of a scene around it, which doesn't seem to exist as big as it was around then. So it's an interesting kind of pocket of time, like the Rev and those venues and stuff.
Yeah, true, exactly. Footscray,
like
the band was based in Footscray. And that was kind of, Footscray was slowly being gentrified, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we were the problem. Yeah.
It's all Stockade's fault.
Yeah. But no, it was cool. But it's all just learning, I think, at the end of the day. And that's what's fun. You take a little bit of everything from whatever you do, I think.
And, you know, now your most famous profession is manning the desk at Rowdy's Records.
Yeah.
A real local high street icon, totally. I'd say. One of the great shops.
I love it.
How was the show there the other day?
It was great. Frenzy from Greece. Mm. I think it was the 10th show they've played in like 2 weeks or something. They've been here.
They also played Flippin' the Bird.
There you go. Yeah. Great people. Great band. Pretty high energy. It was fun. The shows in there are funny. We have like a pretty tumultuous relationship with the upstairs neighbors.
Yeah.
That really kicked off after the Vile Apparition Faces burial show.
That's the only story I've heard is that was Steve told me. He was just like, yeah, that wasn't a good idea in the end.
Yeah, probably not. But now every time we have a show, which is quite rarely, I'll write like a really overly nice letter and just slip it under their door.
Yeah.
Being like, come down, guys. Come experience some tunes, you know. And obviously they're not going to do that, but
yeah. No, consider it.
Exactly.
But the shop itself is like, I remember when Steve first had the, I guess, was going to do it, it's turned into like a fucking ripper in there.
Totally. Like, yeah, it's great. I mean, I was pretty happy to land the job. It was kind of like coming out of lockdown again. I had a kind of office job and I was like, I'm done. Fuck this. Steve, I heard you're opening a record store. Can I have a job? He's like, I think what he said to me was like, yeah, you know rock. Yeah, sick. This will be good. But
well, there was a great little snippet that this guy wrote about your knowledge about, I can't remember what album it was, but.
Oh, it was Rock and Roller, but yeah. It's their first record.
Mm.
Complimented one of your gags.
I know. That felt real good. Nothing like trolling the Google reviews to find that. That's a good one.
And meeting Lobby Lloyd's wife as well.
Did meet Lobby Lloyd's wife, which was really nice. You know, Lobby Lloyd's an idol to me, guitar-wise. It was great. I didn't really know what to say to her. But,
hard to know what to do in these moments.
It is, you know. But that was fun.
I mean, I think it was kind of like, I know there are other record stores on High Street, like it's not like a new concept, but I feel like it's really sick that there's one there now that's doing like the alt subculture stuff while also still having everything else.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's kind of just a throwback to like Missing Link and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was huge for me growing up.
Yeah, same.
Coming in from Sunbury to go, that's like the first stop. Mm. But yeah, it was just kind of create that atmosphere again, whether it be what's on the wall or what's in the racks and what's playing.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And you see the shirts everywhere. Like, people love it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I think, again, Jesse, who did the Gutless merch, does the Gutless designs. He designed the logo.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of stuff. We've had a bunch of different artists do shirts, like Oscar Bonin and Mel Grisser. So
I saw... When I was in Newcastle a couple of weeks ago, I just saw a dude at the pub wearing a Rowdy's Records
shirt. My guy.
And I was like, the word's spreading.
Dab him up. No, but it's crazy. You get, you know, we have like a big cartel. Mm. Big cartel. Buy some Rowdy stuff. But, you know, people all over the world are coughing it. It's like,
Yeah, sick. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Well, you know. Thanks to having a band from Greece in there recently, maybe you'll get some more.
Yeah.
Opa.
Totally.
Cool. Well, you got anything else you want to plug?
Not really. I just want to thank you for having me here.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
It's always lovely to talk to you.
Totally.
You got anything to plug?
Come to Catfish Comedy every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I think I plug that every week.
Yep.
Just really fucking get it in there. Yeah.
Hammer it home.
10th time you see something, you head down.
I might come and claim that Philly cheese.
Hey, mate, anytime. Big shows coming up. Big guests over the Comedy Fest. It'll be sick. Internationals, all that sort of stuff.
Dope.
Big surprise guests. And this will be out after the Play Drive show, but we'll review that next time. Got to wait for Dan to write out a few more tabs for me. It'll be good to go.
Yeah, sick. Come see Extortion, 10th of May. That'd be great. Buy some tickets. So I didn't hit and miss with the venue. So thanks for that. And then what else? Oh, and Aglo's playing the next day, May 11th at Last Chance. Come see that too.
Yeah.
That's it.
And down at Last Chance.
Yeah. brutal. Thanks, Alan.
No problem.
Where can people find you, Alan, if they want to connect with you?
Rowdy's Records.
That's it.
I'll be the man behind the desk.
Ask him about Judas Priest.
All day.
He'll tell you something.
All day.
All right. Thank you, mate.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
Bye.